I was back in D.C. and I was walking through the old neighborhood, and it made me remember the days when I used to live there. And my childhood pal growing up is a cat named Ian MacKay. And good guy, really amazing guy. He's one of those guys, he's like a fine wine. The older he gets, the better he gets. He just gets more and more amazing as he goes. Cooler, funnier, smarter, wiser, more wonderful as he goes. He's just a gem. And whenever I can, I hang out with him because he's the best. I've known the guy since I was 14, 13 years old. Now I'm like 58. So, like, we go back a ways. And so, anyway, back in those days, just like now, I had a very intense work ethic. You know, I always had a job. And Ian was kind of like the very funny devil's, you know, slacker guy. Like, hey, Ian, why don't you work this summer? Work? Me? And so he'd always wait for me to get a job. And then he'd go, hey, get me a job in that place. I'm like, okay. And so whenever Ian would join the place with me, we'd get into all kinds of stuff because we were like aspiring, you know, guys. You were like, okay, we're going to be the funniest people you've ever seen, and we're going to take this job and turn it into performance art. You know, because like for like, you know, $2.90, $3.10 an hour, you got to have fun. I got a job at the Georgetown Movie Theater, tearing tickets. It's a really soft job. My boss was a guy named Bob, and Bob's nickname was Gay Bob, because Gay Bob is a gay guy, and Bob was the shit. We used to have so much fucking fun together. He would make me stand outside the box office, and any man who looked like Omar Sharif, I would go like, and I would scope Omar Sharif clones for him, because for him, Omar Sharif was the do-all and end-all of mankind. And on Friday evenings, when we worked together, sometimes what he called them the girls. All the girls would come down. And these are all his, you know, old gay friends. And they're all like in their 50s. And we would all revert to the feminine of our name. Bob became Roberta. I became Henrietta. And for those guys in our group who did not have like a name, we had Kevin. So Kevin became Kevina. Anything we could put an A on the end of. And these guys are just like some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. So at one point, we got Caligula at the theater. Ah, good. An adult crowd who knows of this movie. Okay, for those of you who didn't go, oh man, what a horrible experience in viewing displeasure. It is an extremely corny kind of look at ancient Rome with all kinds of decadence and corny scenes. It's like a total 70s, just over-the-top venture. And there is this big orgy scene in the middle, as they had a lot of those over there in those days. And there's this, it basically is a well-shot porno movie. This scene, it's like a porno scene. You know, there's like, you know, two girls and a guy over here. There's a lady getting it on with a midget over there. There's all kinds of wild stuff. Oh my god, that's so decadent. Oh wow, hey. So the scene goes on and on for minute after minute, and then it builds into like most porno, you know, movies end when the man ejaculates. We have a typical scene where like this man with this major appendage goes, you know, woo! And there it is, and I would listen to the music of the orgy scene three times a night, you know, the 7, the 10, and the midnight or whatever. And it's like this building violin. And then when the guy gets off, like, bling, bling, yay, yay, wee-hee, woo-ah. And Ian and I would work together on that shift every once in a while. And Ian, always innovating, always looking for a way to take a shitty job and make it fun, you know. And so Ian comes up with this idea, and he says it to me, and I said, okay, I'm with it. And so we're waiting for the orgy scene. We know it's coming. It's about an hour and a half into the movie, and we hear the music start. And at this moment, we go into the trash can where all the ticket stubs have been living for like the last 8 years, like, you know, 90 pounds of ticket stubs. And we go in, and we grab big handfuls of them. And about 10 seconds before the climax, we go running down each side, because there's no middle aisle. There's just like the aisles on the side. We go running down, kind of going like this, letting tickets escape from our hands. And they look like rose petals when they're, you know, going through the air. So it looks like we're like loping and skipping, kind of like we are the, you know, the bearers of good tidings. And so, like, you know, the petals are flying, fluttering to the ground. And then we meet in the middle. We're right underneath this, like, you know, 40-foot-high erection that is about to explode. And we kind of bump chests, and right at the moment the guy ejaculates, we throw the remainder of the tickets up into the air. And we jump for joy. We're like... Yes. And we got a smattering of applause, you know? You know, there's men, you know, rearranging their raincoats, like... All right, and we're like, thank you so much, thank you. Oh, I want to thank you. Get out of here, all right. And we go back and sit on our ass again for another 2 hours and wait, and we would do that until, you know, we had to have the job of cleaning up all the ticket stubs. And then we stopped doing that presently. After that, I got a job at a Haagen-Dazs ice cream store, which was a great deal because the deal is you don't get paid any money, but you get to eat all the free ice cream you could. And people would ask you, don't you get sick of ice cream? I mean, if I was around ice cream like all day, I wouldn't want any ice cream after about a week. Get the fuck out of here. Are you kidding? We were disgusting. Yeah, I said, I can have all the free ice cream I want? Oh my God, you just take entire like 5 gallon barrels and just like lie on the ground and have someone put it on your face and just go. We would make the most regressive, unfinishable sundaes. Like, okay, 9 scoops of this, the whole can of like, you know, chocolate fudge. The customers would have to wait sometime. Like, what, you want something? Fuck off. We were horrible. And so anyway, Ian, of course, wants a job there, you know, smelling free ice cream. He's like, free ice cream. I'm like, no, you're not going to get a job here because you're going to fuck this place up and I really need this job. Free ice cream. Okay, you can have a job. Ian and I immediately, the first night I broke him in, we immediately get to work on turning, you know, Haagen-Dazs into like street theater. And the first thing Ian does is, come here. I go, yeah, I was always his straight man. He goes, come here. And I go, what? He goes, okay, put your head underneath this. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm putting my head underneath the hot fudge dispenser. I'm like, oh, what are you doing? He goes, like, check this out. We have like no hair on our heads. Our hair like about this. I'm like, wow, what are you doing? Like this like blindingly hot fudge is going down my face. And he goes, come here. He puts like dollops of whipped cream on my head and sprinkles nuts on my head. He goes, now, do me, strawberry. I go, what are we? He goes, we are human sundaes, okay? I go, oh, this is cool. And we would stand there like totally straight-faced. Good evening, welcome to Haagen-Dazs. Can we help you? With like this like Devo hat of whipped cream, which is like rapidly warming up and like just turning back into cream. So it's kind of like going down our face and the chocolate or the strawberries going down our face and dripping into the shirt. And we're just like, and the people go, what? Oh, it's an in-store promotion, you know? Like, you know, it's like, hey, have a sundae. You know, we're like, we are human sundaes, and we have to put this on. And like, I'm supposed to say to you, hi, welcome to Haagen-Dazs. Hey, how about a sundae? And it's like really lame, but hey, how about a sundae? Well, no thanks. And so Ian goes rooting around further, and underneath the cash register in this utility space, he finds a bag of rat poison. The old school rat poison, the pink pellets, those like fluorescent pink pellets. And he goes, oh, and he goes to where all the nuts and the chocolate shots are, and he finds an empty bowl, and he pours in this big pile of the bright pink rat poison pellets. And I go, what the fuck? That's rat poison. He goes, just be cool, will ya? Okay. Yeah, relax. What are you always stressing all the time? Okay. And so, customer walks in. He goes, sir, may I interest you in a topping? Well, I just might. Yes, I'd like the bubblegum shots, please. I'm sorry, sir. That's rat poison. Well, you're right. You're right, son. It does look like rat poison. That's funny. But I'll take the bubblegum shots. Sir, that is rat poison. He produces the bag. You know, triple X, rat poison. And he shows him the contents. That's rat poison? That's right, sir. Why do you have rat poison amongst the nuts and the chocolate sprinkles? Just thought you'd like to have an option, sir. It is an option. And so